I want to talk this morning about fruitfulness. Is that all right? Great. In our garden, actually it's my garden, I'm going to call it my garden. Do you know why? Any ideas why? Because I do it. Okay, so I don't think it's fair to call it our garden. No, it is actually because it's our house. But it is my garden. Please forgive me if that sounds a bit selfish, but I think if you put the work in, it's your garden, isn't it? Right, so it's my garden. And in my garden, oh dear, that was nice and pert this morning. I have a vine, okay? So those are vine leaves, and I'm going to try and put them somewhere where you can see them, because sometimes an illustration is good, isn't it? There you go, a vine. And I have some more leaves here. Yeah, they need some water, don't they? But anyway, my vine, is really nice, and I can see it from my kitchen window as I'm doing the washing up and all those other things that you do in the kitchen. And I've been looking at this vine a lot lately, because obviously it's beginning to leaf. And it looks great. However, there is one significant thing missing from this vine. Yeah, let me show you what... Do you think I grew these? No, I really didn't. This is what I would like to see on my vine, okay? But at the moment, and ever since we've moved into the house, there have been no grapes. It has not fruited at all. It hasn't even grown the flowers that come before the fruit. Has anybody else got a vine in their garden? You have. Does it fruit? Oh my goodness, you're my guru. I'm going to talk to you later about how you get it to do that. It just... That's my preach gone completely. Because it just does it by itself. You fruitful woman. I'm going to give these to you later. Okay, fantastic. So Florence's vine fruits. And I would like my vine to fruit. I wish it had. I like the idea of eating grapes from my vine in my garden. Do you? Yeah. And obviously there are other things that we do with grapes, which are also nice. So I was going to bring a bottle of wine, but I thought, you know, that might be a bit too much of a distraction. But the grapes are there for eating, but they're also for drinking, aren't they? If you don't drink alcohol, I want to respect you for that. If you do, wine is sometimes nice, isn't it? With a meal and so on. So we get a lot of benefit from the fruit on a vine. So I would like to say that I did some research into why I'm not seeing any grapes on my vine. So I went online, looked at vines and thought, right, I'm going to get some fruit on this vine if it's the last thing I do. And what I realised was, despite what Florence just said, vines actually do need a lot of pruning, a lot of nurturing. So they do, says Florence. Obviously Florence has a prophetic vine that just grows in itself. But I just hack mine back when it gets too overgrown. And apparently there's a very specialised way that you need to prune a vine. Does anybody know about it? Where you have to take some leaves and some things here and don't touch that and touch that. And all of this, and I'm thinking, that just sounds like such hard work. But one day I will share with you when I get fruit on my vine. And you'll rejoice with me, won't you? I might just take some of Florence's and stick them on. Well, I'm quite prophetic by nature. And I want to say this morning that I'm going to talk to you about fruitfulness and about the Bible is full of references to vineyards. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about vineyards and how we plant them and what happens when things go well. And vines are supposed to bear fruit, aren't they? That's what they're there for. Yeah? That's why people grow them. They're not just supposed to be leaves, however beautiful these leaves are. And I actually do think these are quite pretty leaves. However beautiful they are, that's not the purpose of a vine. They're for fruit, as are we supposed to bear fruit. There's some things I'm going to say a bit later. But I wanted to read these verses from Galatians, this verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know that you're destined for fruitfulness? Do you know? Do you feel fruitful today? No, a bit quieter, sort of. Mm-hmm. Fruitfulness and getting fruity, that's not quite what I wanted to say. Being fruitful is not always easy. Just like growing grapes is not always easy, and we have to give ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me read Psalm 1 quickly. Not all of it, just some verses here, which talks about a tree being planted by a river, by water, and what happens. Okay. Blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path where sinners walk, or sits down where the scornful gather, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And he should be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf shall also never fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper, yielding fruit in season. So I opened my Bible and I realised that vineyards and vines are all over the place. Did you know that Solomon had a vineyard? Yeah, Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Jesus told a parable about it. Yeah, Matthew 21. I won't ask you. Some of you will know what that parable's about. We're not going to look at that this morning. Poor people were workers in vineyards in 2 Kings. So if you were poor, you got sent out to work in a vineyard. In Isaiah 16, it talks about people weeping when their vineyards didn't produce fruit. So it's quite important to grow fruit in your vineyard. Your enemy would make it their business to destroy your vineyard, to take your fruit away. That's in Jeremiah 48. The Bible talks about worms eating vineyards, Deuteronomy 28. Sometimes they were mortgaged, Nehemiah 5. And then laws were made that you weren't allowed to nick the fruit in another person's vineyard. That's in Exodus. Don't go nicking the fruit in someone else's vineyard. Right? The vineyard belongs to them. If you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 107. Please. This psalm is about thankfulness and deliverance and the faithfulness of God. I'm going to read the verses 31 from 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and loving kindness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. I just want to say prophetically, there are some people here. Just turn your ears to these words from Scripture. It's for you this morning. He turns rivers into wilderness water, springs into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into barren salt waste, and so on. And then he turns a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow fields and plant vineyards which yield fruits of increase. Where you are today is not where you're going to stay. The Lord is bringing increase to you. He blesses them also, so they are multiplied greatly and allows not their cattle to decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in waste places. Yet he raises the poor and needy from affliction and makes their families like a flock. The upright shall see it and be glad. And so on. Just say that again. Where you are today is not where you will be. The Lord is bringing increase to you. And this talk on fruitfulness is significant because the enemy would like you to believe, like us all to believe, that where we are today is where we're going to stay. And that's not true. The Lord is the bringer of increase, and he's the one who cultivates the vine and brings fruitfulness. So your destiny, our destiny, is for fruitfulness, is to grow fruit. Yeah? Not just to be a limp, fruitless vine. Right, let's move on quickly. Let's have a look at how vineyards are planted. Apparently, planting a vineyard takes a lot of preparation. It's quite complex. Although I inherited the house with the vine. I don't know, did you plant yours, Florence? You did. Oh my goodness. The woman's a genius. Actually, I think my mother-in-law planted a vine as well, and hers does the same. So it's obviously something about the blessing of God on these women who plant and fruitfulness. Fantastic. So apparently it needs lots of good soil, an underlying rock, and all of those things, good humidity. I won't bore you with all the details. But the first thing I want to talk about is preparing the soil. You know, vines just don't grow by being plonked. If you ever seen, have anybody been to kind of that wine producing country where all the vines are? They don't look plonked in the ground, do they, just randomly? They are beautifully straight and organized. And the soil needs preparing. If you're going to plant a vine, needs kind of digging, sorting out. It needs to be loose and it needs to be level. It can be on a hillside, but it needs to be level in itself. There's a verse in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, which says this. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among thorns. Break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among thorns. If we want to be fruitful and allow the Lord to plant things into us, we have to give him permission to break up the ground first. Yeah? So that what he sows is not sown in soil where thorns are going to grow. He's very good at getting rid of the thorns, but we have to give him permission to do that if we're going to be planted well. Fruitful people tend to go through times where it's quite tough. Yeah? You know that? Have you been there? If you're going to be a fruitful person, you don't just land in fruitful places. You've had to go through a period where the Lord has broken up the soil of your life and weeded out the thorns. What do I mean? Well, it's kind of quite foundational to who we are that we give the Lord permission to take the things that we're holding on to that compromise his growth in our lives, yeah? And I know personally that those things aren't always seen by people, are they? The work that the Lord does, I'll talk about myself, the work the Lord's doing and has done in my life, which has made me fruitful, because I want to honour him for his fruitfulness in me, has come about through quite a lot of private cultivation, right? Where he has broken up the soil and weeded out the stuff that I would sometimes prefer to hang on to because it feels more comfortable that way. It's quite simple, isn't it? We all know what those areas are in our lives. I'm not here to give you a religious talk where God is saying to you, if you don't get rid of that, then I'm not going to bless you. That's not my view of God at all. But if we want to be fruitful, it means handing over everything. Absolutely everything. And is that easy? No. The areas that are easy are the things that you don't like yourself. But the things that you like about yourself, yeah, it's not easy to hand those over. Sometimes the Lord says, if you want to be fruitful, you have to get rid of that one thing that defines you in who you are so that I can do more in you. And sometimes we like who we are, don't we? We're used to saying, I don't really like who I am. But actually, you know, I can look around and go, hey, there's lots of things I like in all these people. There's quite a lot of things I like in myself as well. And sometimes the Lord said, that's the very thing that's actually stopping your fruitfulness. You might not see it, but I see it. Are you willing to let me turn the soil over? And I go, all right, or not yet. It's okay to say not yet. That's radical, isn't it? Because we have a will, yeah? We have to be real and authentic with the Lord, because we can say, yes, please do, but really deep down we're saying, no, don't. I'd much rather be honest with God and say, I'm not ready yet, thanks. Just give me a bit, and then you can have it. When I'm ready, yeah? And let him lead me into submission rather than pretend I'm submissive. So allow the Lord to turn over the soil. Don't be surprised if you don't like it. Doesn't feel sweet, but that's normal. It's called growing in character. That's a euphemism, isn't it? Oh, growing in character, praise God. It is worth it, but sometimes you just don't want to do it. Let me read Colossians 1, verse 10. That you may live in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. So, will you commit to letting the Lord turn over the soil of your life? It's worth it. The thing he's doing is waiting for permission to do that. When we give him permission, he takes our permission and says, okay, it's not rocket science. Those prayers, take me deeper, Lord. Lord says, all right then, take you at your word, I'll do that. And if you can't, I don't know about me, but if you know what that means when you say it, you probably wouldn't have said it. But the Lord says, okay, I hear you. You give me permission, let's go for it together. And we're going, yay! Your character gets shaped and changed, and you have to be humble before the Lord and bring all the motivations of your heart to him and just say, everything that's a thorn in me, weed it out. Even the thorns I quite like. Called sin, really. So I'm just going to, 30 seconds, give you space to close your eyes and work out whether you want to give permission today. It's not the end of the talk, don't worry. Maybe 30 seconds, that's all it needs, or less, to say, I give you permission today to weed out the things in me that compromise my fruit. You, Jesus. The second thing after the preparing the soil, is apparently constructing a trellis, right? So I learned a lot about this from online. This person who obviously grows a lot of vines said, after the soil's been turned over, then you have to plant the trellis. So you have to put the things in the ground and then the wires across them, yeah? So that's how a vineyard grows. Vineyards don't grow just like that, do they? They have to be kind of clinging on to stuff, okay? So that means something has to be built into the soil as a support structure for the vine before it even gets into any fruiting, yeah? So, very simple talk. When we've allowed the Lord to clean out who we are, to loosen up the soil, there is a support structure for us that he provides for us. The first support structure is vertical, so it is the posts to him, if you like. It's the relationship this way with God, very important for our growth. And the other thing is this way. What's that? Each other. So the wires actually are purposeful in the imagery of a vineyard planting all the way through the Bible. Support structure is here, relationally with God, vertical if you like, and then horizontal is here, church body, church, each other. I like church very much. I think it's very, very good for me. It has helped me when I've needed that character shaping, when I haven't really got the sort of like, you don't sit down with God and have a cup of tea, do you? Yeah, so when he speaks to you, it's very difficult sometimes to process that yourself. Actually, what I really need is someone to sit down with me, the cup of tea, and talk to me about what's going on in my life. He provides this, but he also provides this. My encouragement is, if you want to fruit, you stay rooted and connected this way, but also don't forget that the support structure is about here. It's that vertical, it's that horizontal support base where the vine can grow. So he's our support first. It says in Psalm 41, you have set me in your presence forever. Psalm 86, great is your loving kindness and mercy towards me. 2 Corinthians 12, my grace, my favour and my loving kindness is enough for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Cling to that support structure that you have in the Holy Spirit when you need to fruit. Okay, don't forget that your fruitfulness comes from, first and foremost, your relationship with the Lord. Yeah. It is so easy to let that slide, isn't it? Yeah? don't. Please let's not neglect our times with God. I say this, I seem to be saying it everywhere I go these days. Your time with the Lord is so important and so roots you in who you are, who I am. And if you're not getting it, don't be surprised that you feel a little bit shaky. It's not about a religious quiet time. It's about cultivating the relationship with your Maker and your Father and your friend. Okay? God is for us. He is good. It's not about lip service. It's about revelation when we meet with him and grow. And then the wires. You know, sadly, churches are often places where those wires get cut and severed and relationships hurt. Yeah? And our support structure disappears and we haven't anyone to cling on to. I know that, you know, I've done a little bit of a study myself, not a biblical study, but just a study on what happens when relationships in church fail and why they are so damaging, why they can be so painful and disappointing, and why people often leave churches because of fallouts. And it's because they are such an integral part of this support structure that God has given to us for fruitfulness. So we have this. A lot of people, some people say, you know, Jesus good, church bad. Because there's been a failure of that horizontal support structure. And the Lord's wanting to mend the fences. He doesn't like it when churches fall out, people in churches fall out. He wants to mend those things. And we have to let him do that. But that explains why it can be so devastating, because it's so integral to our growth and our fruitfulness that we have our lives together. Friendship is good for us. We need help when we grow in character, don't we? I have a very blunt friend, a very direct friend, who will actually not just help me as I'm growing, but will tell me when I'm not doing very well. And then, of course, what happens is, you know it's good for you, but then you have to get over this hurdle of offence. So I'm thinking, I really don't like you at the moment, you know? And actually, we need to be that for each other. We need to cultivate each other and not be afraid to speak the truth. When someone speaks truth to me in love, I love it so much. It might not be what I want to hear, but you know it's doing you good. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If someone comes up to you and said, "What's your thought life doing at the moment?" You're going, "Whoa, that was offensive." It's so much easier if you have a relationship with them. Because then you can work through those things, or just say, "Just pray for me." Those kind of things, yeah? That's what it's supposed to be, a support structure for the vine. So, loosen the soil, let the Lord dig around, give him permission. Stay vertically supported by him in that relationship and horizontally. The body of Christ is meant to be a place of joy and fun, fellowship and encouragement. We laugh together, we weep together, we journey together. It's not a club, it's not a clique, it's not a cult. It's the body of Christ. This is what he died for. And as we work together well in community, it's the reward he gets for his suffering. Let's give him the reward for his suffering and live in a healthy body. The final thing is the planting of the vine, surprisingly. Okay, last thing. Apparently, the root ball of a baby vine shouldn't be too tangled up. Okay, I just thought you'd like to know that. So it's not just the soil that needs to be cleared. It's actually that when you get the little baby vine, you actually need to do a little bit with the root as well. Okay, for those of you let's get rid of the bitter roots and the judgments. Let's allow the Lord to break up the roots so that we don't get knotted. That's just an aside. The vine should be planted so it's always cool and stops the sun. Oh, you don't need to know all about that vine, do you? As the vine grows, the trailing stalks are wound around each other and all of that. Sometimes these trailing stalks get a bit too tight. Oh, I did have one. Hang on. Well, there you go. It's fallen off, isn't it? Oh, dear. It's all going so well, this illustration. Get the point. Sometimes things can wind around a bit too tight. Yeah. So when you're in that horizontal support structure, don't get too tightly wound into people, because it'll choke them. Let the Lord be their primary vertical support. Okay, that was just one of those things. So the vine begins to grow. And then the next problem is what I was doing on Friday morning. Weeding. Oh, my goodness. My garden was so over. Who likes weeding? Be honest. I bet there are some people who do. Are they? No satisfaction in weeding. No. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Good. On Friday morning, I cleared a whole load of weeds in my garden. I looked back and went, whoa, I'm good. I don't think I was good. That looks good. I didn't like doing it at the time. But weed control is apparently often neglected when vines are growing. But why would you need to control the weeds when you're growing a vine? What do? They choke. And what else? They take the sustenance that should be for you. They grab out all the nutrients from the soil and they grow big and strong, and then the vine all withers and dies like this. Weed control, very important when you're growing vines, apparently. After this, you're all going to go out and grow a vine, aren't you? Because you're just going to be such experts. Weeds are interlopers, unwelcome guests, and they need to be pulled up. They're external to the vine. They don't belong in the vine. Okay, this is the vine. This is not a weed. Weeds are interlopers, illegal entrants into the soil. So the enemy is very good at sowing weeds. Illegal entry. Yeah? It's very simple, not complex preach this morning. Or ever, actually. Oh, yeah. When we allow weeds to come, when we allow the enemy a foothold into our lives, he ends up taking the goodness for himself and drawing out the things. What does that mean? Well, we've dealt with the soil and we've got rid of all the stuff and given God the kind of, you know, the permission to do the stuff, and we've been planted and all those things. We've got our support structure. And all of a sudden, left field, from somewhere else comes something else. So it's not an internal issue. You know what I'm saying? It's something that the enemy sends to wipe us out. Who has ever known a sudden kind of attack of the enemy where you feel like your whole life is, yep, your whole life has just gone completely bonkers? Yeah, I have. Some nods. We recognise it. Not always at the time, but in hindsight, we will always know when there's been a spiritual attack. Sometimes the enemy deceives us when we're in it and we don't know what's going on and we think it's the Lord. And rarely, if we're in a place of unrest, is it? Yeah, very rarely. So my encouragement to you today is to recognise those left field attacks that come in to take the goodness out of the soil that you have given permission for the Lord to sow in. He wants to grow you and me into a healthy, fruitful vine. The enemy will try everything he possibly can to stop that happening. And he will also deceive you and me to think that those left field events are really in our hearts, when actually what we've done is given our hearts to the Lord, given the soil and said, you have permission, you have permission. And all of a sudden something goes bang and we go, oh dear, I'm not as good as I thought I was. Maybe I didn't give everything up to the Lord. What's going on in me? And we begin to get discouraged. It's a deception of the enemy, and it's an attack of the enemy, and it's a weed. And so what we need to do is we need to recognise it as a weed and say, you're a weed. I will not have you in my life. I will not have you in my soil. I will pull you out in the name of Jesus. So many people start well and then get discouraged because what the enemy has done is he said, oh, you're not that good really. You're not going to be that radical. You're not really a fruit-bearing person. You are. But what he's done is deceived us into that place of thinking that the weed is us, and it's not. I want us to recognise increasingly as we walk in our walk, radical walk with Jesus, I'm really passionate about this, that we recognise what needs developing in us, but what the enemy is sowing against us at times when we just need to take a stand and warfare over our own lives and the lives of those that we love and say, we are not having this. Because anything else is contrary to the goodness of God and his promises over us. There are some words that have been spoken over me which are so clearly the Lord in my past. And you know, even those the enemy can challenge. And actually, I've really had to repent, because there have been times when I said to the Lord, you didn't really say that to me, because my circumstances aren't really looking like that's taking shape at the moment. And you begin to doubt the word of God. And instead, what I've begun to do afresh is to turn my back on the enemy and stamp on the weed and then pull it out and say, that's a deception, that's a lie, because the word of God stands forever and he's my truth. Yep. And we need to get to a place where we're not believing that how we're feeling or what the circumstances are around us are the truth. The truth is the word of God into us. This is truth. This Bible is truth. The prophetic words that you have had spoken over your lives are the truth of God for you. Anything else that comes contrary to that is a lie, especially when the enemy will say, see the motivation of your heart, see your sin in there. God's not going to use you if you sin like that. And you see what happens? We just fall off the vine. We just kind of wither and believe that we've got thorns, and we haven't, because the Lord's dealt with them. Yeah? When the Lord deals with the thorns in our lives, he deals with them full on, completely, finished, done. Work of the cross, finished. And the truth is, in your lives and in my life today, the work of the enemy is finished. It's done. He can just accuse, that's all. And so the weed is there to be pulled up. And so, if you have weeds, you need to recognize them as weeds. And take a stand for your own life. And the support structure will be there for you to do that with you. But I want to speak directly into that deception today. And in a minute I'm going to pray. And I want to remind you, in Song of Solomon it talks about the little foxes that come into the vineyards. Where the bride and the believer, the bride is the believer and the bridegroom is the Lord, and they're in the vineyard together, enjoying the vineyard. And the little foxes come in. Apparently foxes like grapes. And the little foxes came in and they began to destroy the vineyard. And the thing about the vineyard was it was only flowering, it hadn't fruited yet. So those foxes came in to destroy the vineyard when the flowers were still there before the fruit came. And the enemy just wants to come in like a fox and ruin the vineyard. And one of the things I felt the Lord wanted me to say to you this morning was to recognize the enemy as a destroyer of the fruitfulness, a potential destroyer of the fruitfulness, like a little fox. But we have everything in Jesus to resist and to cast out what he does and to pursue a life of fruitfulness. Jesus talks in John 15 about being, we're the branches and the Father is the gardener. Is this a similar thing to what I'm talking about? But the pruning. And in other verses in the scripture it talks about no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Yeah. Change isn't easy. And sometimes we want to hang on to those things that nobody sees, because they make us feel good about ourselves. And I'm here to say the Lord knows, understands, but knows that we will feel so much better when we relinquish those things to him and we allow his goodness to come and bring the fruit. So I'm going to lift these grapes and just let you look at them. Because this is the end result of a growing vine. And you're destined for fruitfulness, not for weeds, not for destruction, not for death, for life. And so I'm just going to pray. And what I'm going to do is I just want to take, there's no time like the present, is there? So I want you to look at the vine of your life. Maybe close your eyes. We're going to pray. Don't worry, it's not anything meditative or dodgy. And imagine that you're a vine. And don't bemoan the fact that you're not today. Don't see yourself as a... If you're feeling grim, don't see yourself as a withering vine. See yourself as a fruitful vine, because that's your destiny. That's how God sees you. And I'm just going to pray and lead us in a time where we meet God again. Just me and Him, you and Him. Holy Spirit, will you just come and minister to each life now? Bring your encouragement, your goodness. Remind each one that they're important to you, enough to die for. I want to reverse the lies of the enemy that say, I'm not really important. And bring the truth that is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And I'm just going to pray, and I want you to echo the words if you want to, just in your head. You don't have to do it out loud. But I'm going to pray, and it'll be a prayer for me too. So just let's all join together in just praying quietly to the Lord. Lord, I know that you have destined me for fruitfulness. I want to be a fruitful vine. I want you to loosen the soil of my life so that thorns don't grow. Lord, I want you to prepare me for fruitfulness and for increase. I want to see how my life would look in a year's time. I want you to give me dreams about what that fruitfulness will look like. Lord, I want you to plant me with a good support structure. I want you to draw me into a relationship with you that's fresh and new today. Again. I want you to give me a good support structure around me so that I can grow horizontally and vertically. I want you to repair the wires around me if I've been disappointed and hurt by relationships, so that I can grow again and breathe again. Lord, I want you to do the weeding for me. I want you to help me to recognize when there's a weed around me and give me the courage and strength and insight to pull it up and deal with it. Lord, I pray you'd make me a warrior so that I recognize the deception of the enemy and weed it out so it doesn't take root. Lord, I pray that we do that for each other in this room. That this place will be a place of encouragement and battle for each other. And Lord, I just want to pray now for this congregation that you would release blessing and goodness over them. Father, I pray for the fruitfulness that comes out of being centered in you, not out of programs or activity, but the fruitfulness that comes as a result is actually out of being planted and rooted and firmly established as a vine, fruitful and well supported and well structured. And Lord, I pray that where we hit those areas where it's really hard to change, you bring your grace and your revelation to us and your strength to say, yeah, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to shape me again in a new way. And Lord, I'm saying this because I just know that there is fruitfulness ahead. And I know people have said that before, but I just feel it. And Lord, I want to pray for a prophetic voice to come from heaven again into this congregation. Father, yeah. I just feel Lord saying actually that the next stage obviously is the wine. And let the wine flow. Let the wine of the kingdom flow in this place. The new wineskin. Out with the old. Let your kingdom come, Lord, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.